Right? You're like, that buzzer ain't rang. That game ain't over with. So keep going.
I had a dream I could buy my way to heaven. When I
have thrived, you know, in that chaos.
I told God I'll be back in a second. Man, it's so hard.
How could this be happening? Did any of you guys pay attention to anything I said? Like,
get arrested, guess until he get the message.
Welcome back to the Reckless CEO Podcast, where we keep it real, raw, and reckless about business and life.
They ain't really got the sauce, and I ain't got, you know what I mean? It's like,
here is your host, the Reckless CEO himself, Michael McGovern.
So welcome back to another Reckless CEO Podcast. Got my homie Nate Saxton in here with me today. And Nate's been on a few times, right? Nate works with me, and it's part of Columbus Roofing Company and Strong Investing with us. And we've got quite a few endeavors together now. But we wanted to bring Nate on today, just kind of start sharing about, as he is starting to get into his journey of content and story, right? We talk a lot about the importance of your story and branding and how to kind of dissect that. And as Nate was kind of asking me questions today, I thought that it would be a good idea to just bring him on and let's have the conversation in here, because maybe there's somebody else that can, you know, also be impacted by that. So, Nathan, thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Excited to be here.
You are. Yeah, you're excited. So Nate's like one of those guys that, you know, he loves the idea of the content. He doesn't like doing the content. So we're helping him out. We're trying to help him overcome these fears. And I think that it's probably something that everybody deals with. Like, I know that I dealt with it for the longest time. When I first started getting into podcasting, I think there's a few things to it. It's like, one, I was always trying to cram all this content and all these points and a lot, rather than just like allowing myself to flow and talk and share and being able to create the stories to share the things versus me trying to create the content to share, right? And then from there, it's also the side of like, what are people going to say about me?
Yeah.
Right. Is my story going to relate with anybody? Is it even worth even telling?
Do I just sound stupid?
You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, we all feel that, because a lot of it's those insecurities that we had as children. Right. Yeah. Or at some point someone saying something to us, our voice. Like, I remember I had an ex-girlfriend that's like, your voice is so loud and deep. And then so the longest time I'm like, I'm trying to talk real light now. And I'm like, that ain't me, bro. Nah. You know, but it's just, you know, we have these little tragedies or traumas that happen that hold us back from maybe shooting the content. But a lot of times I think that it's those things that people want to hear about.
Right.
And what do you think for you as you're getting into this? What's some things that, you know, have kind of you feel like is the wall that you have to either get through or get around when it comes to, you know, shooting content?
Always just putting the pressure on you or yourself just to say something good, a bomb or something like that. And then, like you said, just what are people going to say? Are they even going to relate with it? And what I got to constantly remind myself is, if there's just one person out there that can get benefit from it or value from it, then at the end of the day, it's worth it. Because I know for me, there was one person that actually like seen more in me than I seen in myself. That's what got me on this journey.
Yeah.
And so if I can just change one person's life like that, show somebody value, show them the way, then it's worth it.
Yeah, it is. And I think that, you know, I always hear that personal is universal, right? What I mean by that is, the more, you know, personal of a story that you can share and you can talk about, the more universal it is to everybody. Because just like we were talking about earlier, right, you go through and read Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, which is 2,000 years old, but you read that coming from one of the men that was like the most powerful man in the world at that time. And the way that the introspect that he has on himself and the conversations that he was having with himself is like, dude, this is one of the most powerful men in the world. And he has the same issues that we're having.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you remember that, it's like, it is that, and it's not so much like, that's the other side of it too, right? We were saying is that, you know, when you go to share a story or help to share content, right? It doesn't always have to be like the most dramatic, traumatizing, watched your dad get stabbed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you don't have, like, that's not what, like, yeah, people can connect to that, but that's not like, it's sometimes it's just the day in and day out obstacles
that people want to see. Yes. Yeah. They want to see that. They want to relate to it. They want to find techniques to get over it, get through it.
Yeah.
And like you were saying earlier, the big traumatic thing, that's more like movie style.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You can't just keep hitting bangers and bangers and bangers.
Correct.
That would just be movies.
Right. Exactly. And you have to just share it. If it's always constantly like, I have to have this, you know, this transcending point that's going to change the person's life that listens to it, like, after a while, that's a hard, like, now you almost like dehumanize yourself too, because now people can't necessarily compare themselves to you because, like, wow, well, I never gone through that.
Yeah.
Right. Where we were talking about today of just saying, all right, let's talk about the things that you want to be speaking on.
Yeah.
Right. Things that have impacted you up to this point, because we are always suited to serve the version of us we used to be. Right. And so anytime I'm creating content or story, you know, I'm trying to speak on it to the point of the Mike I used to be. Right. The version that was a step behind me now, because I know that where I'm at now, that version of me needs me.
Yeah.
Right. I want to be that person for that version that I didn't have.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you're sharing your stories, it's like, OK, what is it that I feel like has been a powerful thing to me? Like, what have I learned? What are the things that I've learned that have helped me get to where I'm at today? And you shared mindset, right? The power of that, of thought.
So change, share a little mindset, bit about,
yeah.
Change your mindset, change your life.
Yeah. Share a little bit about that.
Yeah. Really growing up in a small town, back in the woods, nobody really talks about this type of stuff. Mindset, personal development, growing. It's always, you know, just work your 9 to 5 and go have fun on the weekends.
Yeah.
Nothing of like the inner work, which is necessary for you to do if you want to be in business, if you want to be in sales, if you want to keep hitting newer levels of yourself.
And I think it is not necessarily just the inner work to get there. It's the inner work to sustain it.
Sustain it. Yeah, that's 100% it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not about like, oh, I read this book and now I'm going to go implement this and, you know, my life's going to change. It's like, okay, you read the book. Now you're going to go implement it. Now the hard part starts, because now it's continuing to then do the thing you say you're going to do and show up the way you say you know how you need to show up.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like now it's on you to continue to incorporate that into your day to day.
Yeah.
And you have to, and that's where it's, you know, we talk about is like being able to create the content in ways that people can then execute. Right. So we take your perspective, right? I was saying, hey, the mindset, change your mindset, change your life. Okay. So one is to say, all right, I read something, I hear something from that Nate shares, and now I want to, you know, change my mindset. You know, it's thinking about, okay, what are the things that you have done to change your mindset that could help somebody else?
Like what we talked about earlier, just the power of one more. And, you know, anytime something feels hard or I hear that little voice in my head that says, you know, just give up, go in for the night. We were talking about, this is correlated to, you know, roof sales, but it was a bad day of door knocking. We were out there for 6 hours, no leads, pulled on the street. It was getting dark. We were ready to just hang it up. And I'm like, well, this is the biggest residential house I've ever seen, so I'm gonna at least go talk to them. And even when I jumped out of the truck, I'm like, they're outside right now. They don't want to hear it. They don't care. I'm like, fuck it. I ain't no bitch.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just walked up to him and I'm like, hey man, I see you got some missing shingles. You know, you got it inspected. He's like, yeah, I got denied. I'm like, well, I can probably still help you for sure. He's like, are you getting on the roof? Looked at me because I had my Vans on.
Yeah.
You know, skinny jeans.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. Started telling him how we work the procedure and stuff like that. Next thing you know, he's calling all of his neighbors. Mm. The one across the street, the one beside him, the one to his left. He's like, hey man, this roofing guy just showed up. He's slick. He knows his stuff. You guys need to have him come check your roof. But to tie back into that, the power of just doing one more.
Yeah.
Changing your mindset from every time you hear that voice in your head that says, just give up.
Yeah.
Go home. Take it easy. Just doing one more, you always see success on the other side of that.
And I think you start to, you callous, right? You start to callous. You start to create resiliency. And then you start to realize that, like, you change that perspective from, I can't, to, like, I've been here before.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's the power of a mindset shift, is that you now have a new threshold that you've broken through, right? You now are more calloused. You've been here before, yeah. right? It's no different than when you people talk about, you know, cold plunge and all of these things. Like, yes, there's a lot of benefits to it, to your, you know, your central nervous system and all of that. But when you do something again and again and again, it's still hard.
Yeah.
But it's not as hard.
You're just training your brain. You're training your brain to get through it.
Exactly, yeah. right? And that's the same thing when you come into situations, like especially in sales, because it always feels like it's that one more.
Yeah.
Every time in sales, it's like, man, like I don't wanna make this call. I've already got how many doors slammed in my face. I'm done. I'm done for the day, man. I just want to hang it up. And there's like that, like you said, it's that, you could say it's the bitch voice, right? Or maybe it's intuition, right? Maybe it's wisdom saying like, no, like you do this and you're going to prove something to yourself. I challenge you to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And just like you said, you go up, you knock on that door and now you start a relationship and it all starts before you get to that door, because at this point you get shit on.
All day long,
right? You don't want to do it. But there's also something to be said when you've got two or three other guys there too that have put the work in, that are looking at you. Like, to me, that's when people separate themselves as leaders, when it's those moments when they don't want to go on, because everybody is going to get behind momentum.
Yeah, nobody else was jumping to get out
no
of the
one else would jump because they've got beat up all day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like that's where you start to separate yourself, you know, in a leadership style, because it's like, well, now Nate's the, because now you doing that,
yeah,
not only does that change your mindset, but it changes theirs,
right?
You're the example,
especially when they're a part of it and they seen what we got. We ended up getting 6 full approvals on that street,
right,
and it all started with that one more door
one knock. More it's the ladder effect every time, but it just takes that. Like, I think that you have to start to look for that, right? I think that, you know, getting, you know, breaking through the thought of like it's everything has to be easy, and you know, I don't want to be challenged, and when you live that comfortable lifestyle, like the comfort only lasts for so long, and then you get hard.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you either take hard up front and get easy, not easy, less hard,
right?
Or you take easy up front and get way harder on the backside.
Yeah. Which I would say, if you're getting into a sales job or a business and you're thinking it's going to be easy, you might as well just turn around.
Turn around, man.
Because the only way you're going to be successful is if you're looking for the hard shit.
That's where
you're going to grow. That's where you're going to hit new levels of yourself.
You have to
lean. It's not from staying stagnant.
No. And you have to lean into it. And I think that, you know, humans naturally need that, right? Yeah. Humans, there's nothing that feels better than accomplishing something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you're putting a fucking puzzle together. You get that puzzle done, and you're like, fuck yeah, bro. I just had for 3 hours to put this damn puzzle together. Good for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like, it's that endorphin that you get from achievement. And we're naturally designed as humans to want to achieve. And so when you're not constantly setting out to have achievements, right? And it doesn't have to always be, you know, a materialistic item that you reward yourself with. But I think that it's so powerful to, you know, set yourself out for achievements and then set up what happens when you achieve it. Because now you're also, you know, ingraining that in your brain of, oh shit, last time I did this, I got sushi.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it again because I'm hungry for some more sushi. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so you have to do those little things. And so being able to, you know, really map out the stuff of, you know, because things are gonna come. And I'm not necessarily saying like don't self-sabotage, because that's a whole, like there's a fine line.
That's the whole thing I'm thinking of right now. Like, some people are good at, you know, celebrating their accomplishments.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm always looking for that next mountain. I did my biggest day of sales, which was one day I sold 4 jobs and it came out to be like 120, 140, something like that. It lasted about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, shit. What am I going to do the rest of the week? I need to get this done. I need to get this sale done. You know what I mean?
And so part of it starts about how you talk to yourself, because you literally just said, I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
If you tell yourself that, you're never going to be good at it.
Yeah. What's your quote? Watch your words, because you're always listening, man.
Yeah. You know, and I pay so much attention to that, because I sat around, you know, mentors that if I ever said something that was negative, talk to myself. Yeah. He's like, no, not like. Like, Ryan has ingrained that in my brain, and you'll rarely ever hear me say,
it's powerful.
And you don't realize how important that self-talk is, because we just beat ourselves down.
Yeah.
Right. And like, the world's already going to beat you up. The world's already against you. don't make you against you.
Right.
You got to be for you.
Yeah. That's right? The biggest thing you've preached to me right now.
It has to be, yeah. Right? But that's that mindset. That's that power of the mindset. That's that shift of the mindset, right? Because it's like, and a lot of this stuff, you know, it's not, it might sound overwhelming. It might sound like, wow, there's a lot of shit you got to do to fix your mindset. But you really don't, because it's all, it really is a ladder effect of everything that you do. Because if you just start to change the way you talk about yourself to yourself, your life will change. If you just start to change the way you talk about yourself and then other people see that, their life starts to change.
If you just start to change the way you perceive things, mm-hmm. just like Tariq said, 2 millimeter shift.
That's it.
Why is this happening for me, not to me?
Yeah, exactly, right? And it's just those little things, and they sound cliche.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't think that the next level for anybody listening, I don't think the next level is learning more. It's understanding more. It's understanding you more.
Understanding you more and cutting out the
distractions.
Distractions, the negative influences in your life.
Yeah.
It's definitely cutting.
It's cutting, dude. Yeah. It's always less. It's never more. You know what I mean? And I think that's where it's, I think as you get into business, focusing and understanding that the most powerful thing that you can create in business is leverage.
Yeah.
Right, well, you and I talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Right, like even the other day, you're moving all the shit to my house and into your garage, and I'm like, bro, go pay the fucking guys $100 to move that shit. Yeah. You're like, damn, I didn't even think about that. You know what I mean? But it's like that $100 that we hold on to be like, I need that. It's like you're gonna go produce it. Like even taking up the mental capacity of stressing yourself out to have to do something that might cost you $100 is going to actually probably cost you a couple thousand, because your mind is so fixated on this problem that's a small problem that you've got to solve now, and you get paid for solving big problems, not little problems.
Right.
So don't solve a $100 problem. Go solve a $1,000 problem and leverage somebody else to solve the $100 problem. Yeah. And then teach them how to solve the $1,000 problem. Like that's the growth of it, right? It's like you have to constantly, you have to ingrain the new way. Then you have to, you know, exemplify that way. And then you have to then show some other person how to do that, right? It's like I always say that in business. It's like you have to, it's like when you start a business, it's about learning how to make money. Create value, add value, and make money. As you grow in business, it's about showing others how to create value and make money.
Yeah.
And then helping them show the next guy. Like, that's what you have to constantly.
The ladder effect.
It's the ladder effect, right? So you've got to do that. It really all starts with that mindset. And that's like why it's so important to lean into the hard. And even like you're talking about here, right? If you would have went up to that house and felt sorry for yourself, right?
Yeah.
If you went to that house, felt sorry for yourself, didn't leave your shirt tucked in, showed up looking different, right? It's like there's so many little things that you held on to is what got you that deal,
mm-hmm.
right? You showing up like you, showing up different than the other guys,
right?
Because what happens a lot of times, we get faced with resilience. We look at ourselves and where we're different from other people, and then we want to actually conform to what the other people are doing. Right. So it's like for you, I'm like, man, we didn't get any doors today because we don't look like roofers. Right. You know,
we definitely
I mean?
Don't look like roofers.
Right. But imagine if you would have thought that to yourself and said, man, like before I go knock this door, I'm going to put my cougar paws on and I'm going to throw some blue jeans on and I'm going to go change my shirt. And I don't want to look at this. I don't want to look like I'm a pretty boy walking up to a door. I'm not going to be myself. I'm going to do what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
If you would have done that, your life could have shifted at that moment.
Yeah.
Because now you're trying to be something you're not versus being authentic. And authentic is what people need.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it's so important about creating your story, creating your brand, because that's what attracts people to you. Right? It's not by mistake that we have ex-athletes and people that want to, you know, compete and people that want to work out and learn and study and be a better version of themselves. Like,
that's you.
That's me. You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter who you are. You have something that people will follow or get behind or listen to, but you have to like really lock in and be like, dude, I don't care what people think about me.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like you telling your story of where I've come from. It's, you know, it's small town. You know, you stepping out is that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
you stepping out is like, everyone's going to probably tell you not to do it.
It's unheard of down there.
It's unheard of, yeah. Right? And but look what you've created. Now your brother.
Yeah.
Right? Think about the friends and stuff that you're talking about bringing them in, next season. Like, that's what's so freaking powerful about just changing that mindset. And we don't pay attention to it enough because you're so caught up in you mm-hmm. and all the problems that you have that you're not realizing that, holy shit, dude, like, look what I'm creating behind me.
Oh, yeah. Like, we just talked about it, I think, yesterday. I'm like, just looking back from, March when I started to now, where not only we're at, where I'm at, where you're at, whole different ballgame.
Whole different ballgame.
It's like 4 years have went by, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how much we, the company, individually, we've all changed. And it's been 8 months.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you get collected. That's when you have when you share a mission and a vision with people.
Yeah.
Right? And when you can share the mission, vision, combine that with a value, and you can create the impact behind it, that's going to accelerate how fast you can do things, because it's not just Nate doing what Nate does in the compound effect or Mike doing what Mike does in the compound effect. No. It's
us.
A bunch of people doing a bunch of things, and there's like, now you're 100xing the compound effect because everyone's moving the same way, and it's like, eventually now you've got so much momentum that it doesn't get easier, but it starts to become the new normal.
Yeah, right? You get used to the higher capacity.
Yes.
And then you just keep building that capacity and capacity.
Like, look at where you're at now compared to where you were March. And imagine if you were dealing with all the things that you deal with now on a daily basis, where, like, you'd be tapped, dude. You want to quit.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
But I wouldn't able to, but that's why you have to go through all the levels. You have to go through the whole process. You have to learn every single bit of it. That way, like you said earlier, you can start training people to do what you did.
Yeah. And you can't skip.
No, you can't skip levels.
You can't skip levels. And I think that's what so many people want to do.
Yeah, because they want the success that they see.
Yeah.
They want the shiny things, the money, the relationships, the network. They want all the fun stuff, but they don't want to go through the grind.
No.
And the grind's what makes you.
It is. It makes you, and also makes you appreciative.
Very appreciative.
Right? The grind makes you appreciative. Like, I remember, and I think that's something we don't do enough, is like actually just sit back and think about things.
No, we don't.
Right? Like, I'm always like, just move, do here, do. Like, I'm always distracting myself with another thing.
Yeah.
And when you sit back and look at it, like, there'll be some days I'll wake up in the morning when it's, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like in my house, and I'm like, I'll literally shed a tear. And I'm like, dude, like, how did I get here? How did I have this? How do I have a $500,000 house and a multi, an 8-figure business and 30 some employees and like opportunity and growth? And I literally get to show up and do what I want to do, like,
and love what you're doing.
I mean? And it's like, and it's literally in those moments where, like, I'll get emotional because I'm just like, dude, how have I created this? But I realized that it wasn't created by me. It was created by everybody, by all of us together. You know what I mean?
Alignment,
and you have to reflect, dude, because reflection is so freaking powerful to achieving what you want to do, because when you do reflect and you can look back on it, dude, you appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll have days where I'm like, man, like, I already thought about this the other day. I'm like, dude, I have meeting after meeting. I'm talking to this person about how they can get better and what can we do and how can I help them. And I'm reviewing what they're doing and we're going through it and we're holding accountability and all of this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I've been such a selfish leader lately that I haven't asked anybody, what could I do?
Hmm.
What could I do better? Right. I literally thought about this the other night. I'm like sitting there. I'm like, man, like, I want to have meetings next week and like, be like, pick me apart. You don't want that truth because it hurts. But at the same time, if you're not asking those questions, then you're not improving, right? So that's me distracting myself because I don't want to. I know that I'm not perfect, but it's easy when you're the front guy to not necessarily feel perfect, but it's easy to think that, oh, it's not me,
right?
And you're so locked in on everybody else, trying to help them, trying to build everybody else, that you forget that maybe am I building myself, right? And that's why it's so important to have coaches that. I've got so many people that do shine light on me that, and I don't think I ever get caught up in of like, oh, like I'm great, and I got like I'm not a conceited person.
No,
but I definitely lose track of, you know, Mike, you could be more intentional. Mike, you could sit down. Like, I've realized that for me, I'm best in our business when I'm doing this.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to guys and reflecting with people and having conversations and being able to sit down and help someone think differently. And I realize that I get so busy and overwhelmed with everything that I don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. And try, like, my goal for next year is to be like, how do I get hyper locked in focused for, you know, 3 hours of the day every day that I'm getting things done. And then the rest of my day is spent with no intention but to support and love and help the team, because that's how it's going to make them better. When I'm not doing that, I can feel the vibration and the shift in the culture when I'm not doing those things.
Yeah. But even what you just said right there, that's why you're a great leader. Because there's not many leaders that think like that or reflect and think, how do I get better? Right? Just like you said, it's your fault. It's your fault. You need to do this, this, this. Right. You're sitting there telling me you need to reflect. You want to hear everybody's opinion on you.
Right.
There's no leaders out there that are doing stuff like that.
And then again, like, right, that creates the mindset shift for everybody, right?
For everybody.
Just this conversation.
It's got me thinking, what am I doing wrong? Now I want a whole analysis. Tell me what I'm doing wrong.
No, man, it's super valuable, man. I think that, you know, again, when you're talking about what we're talking about, right, and you know, mindset shift and being able to, you know, create that content. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things when it comes to creating content, right, is having people there that can support you to help you open up, help you to unlock things, right? Because, I mean, you shared your story with me 100 times, right? Like, you got picked on for how you sounded, and you got, you know what I mean? Like, concussions and all of these things. And, you know, it created drama and trauma in your life to not want to share, because it was scary to share because people made fun of you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the shit that people connect to, because people have also been there.
Yeah. It's before I met you, that was one of the biggest reasons I wanted to come to you, because obviously I heard your podcast and I'm like, I knew that I always dealt with this limiting belief that my voice sounded like shit, which it might, but I don't give a fuck.
Doesn't matter.
And I knew that coming to you, you would push me to, you know, start posting on my Instagram, start getting more into social media and stuff like that. And then here we are now with a whole, you know,
team doing it.
Team doing my media and stuff like that. So it was true, but I remember the very first roof I was on with you. I still have the story. You made me talk in your story, and I was like, son of a bitch. Like, damn, he's going to put me on the spot, and you did.
Right? And that's awesome, though. You know what I mean?
Cause it's right off the rip, out of my comfort zone.
Right off the rip,
I almost didn't want to do that inspection with you, because I knew that you were going to put a video of me and make me talk on it.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Dang, dude, that's powerful. No, and it's funny, because I think that's where, you know, on leadership side, like, just that natural intuition of good leaders that, you know, I didn't know any of those things. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know that. Like,
back at the time, you did.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know, like, you and I had really just connected. Like, that conversation you and I had on the rooftop in freaking Blacklick was the first time we'd actually, like, had that in depth real of a conversation. Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, even you were saying today, it was like, oh, man, like, as I look back at where I'm at and realizing that, you know, it's the story and the brand and the things that I kind of done, you know, intuitively, that has kind of built this, right? But not even realizing that, you know, I was doing that to you. You know what I mean? That's wild,
because I thought that, like, you had intention behind it. I thought you knew what you were doing. When we were literally sat on top of a roof on our butts on the ridge for, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Just talking about life, just talking about the vision, what you want out of this, where we're going to be.
Yeah.
Everything. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm locked in with him.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what people need, man. I feel like, and it's so hard to do that at scale, right? Like, that's the one, like, that's the hard part about when you're growing and you're growing fast. And that's what is so important about, like, I always say, it's like, it's culture depth, right? Like, there's so much importance to culture depth, and culture depth is a group of collectives telling the same story with the same mission, with the same vision, not coming from one mouth, but coming from many mouths.
Now you know it's real.
And now you know it's real. You know what I mean? Because everybody starts to get behind this thing, because one person doing it is like, is this guy serious?
Right.
Is he going to fuck me? Because most people fuck me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then you get two guys, you're like, maybe these two guys are against me. Yeah. You know what I mean? But then once you start to, you know, build those people, and that's why you need, like, I always consider culture to me as like a football team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I always say that. I'm like, dude, like, you, culture is like being that head coach that you've got to pay so much attention to the team, because we get so caught up in the business that we're focused on the business, thinking the business is the thing that keeps it moving, and it's not. The business is just the vehicle. The business is really irrelevant.
It's the process.
It's the process. Yeah. That's it. You know what I mean? But you've got to have this pulse on the culture constantly and be like, where are my people at? Right? Like, we had the little thing pop up this week about the SDRs, and then, like, yeah. And you know, and it's like, okay, you have to figure out ways to address these things. Like, what's the best thing for the team? Right? Like, I had a bunch of conversations yesterday, and it was like, I'm going home for the day. You know what I mean? I went home and I had to like sit back and think of like, okay, how do I respond to this? What's the best way to do it? How do I do it in a sense that doesn't go the wrong direction? Like, but you've got to evaluate your culture.
Yeah.
And as the leader or the head coach, you've have to build that respect level of the people that there's not necessarily a right or a wrong answer. They just need a answer. And then you need to show them that like, there's nothing worse than a leader that says one thing and does another thing.
100%.
Right? And yeah. So you have to pay attention to that, because how you show up is how everybody's going to show up.
Yeah.
Right? And you and that's the, that to me starts to create, you know, the ladder of everybody getting in that same groove, in that same page. Is like, when you have to make those decisions, you have to make sure that you make a decision and you're just, even all if it's wrong, I'm all in.
Yeah. Certainty.
Right? It's certainty, yeah. Right. And that's why it's so important to have the other leaders.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if I come in, you know, I always say that, you know, in business is so much like relationships. And I'm not a relationship expert by any means. I have failed miserably at this. But I've learned a lot.
You can't talk like that. You're getting better at relationships.
That's true, my man, calling me out. No, it's true, right? I think it's all lessons, you know what I mean? Yeah. You learn a lot of things, and you know, I figured a lot of things out, but the female race is not something that I've, well, I'm getting better at figuring them out, you know, yeah, what I mean? But that being said, I think that business is so much like a relationship. And the fact that if you are out at a party, and you're, you know, it's someone asks you a question and you say something, and, you know, someone asks your spouse a question, they say something, and then you realize that you both said something different, and then now one of you doesn't have the other one's back, right? It's like, boom, all of a sudden that just shows, it's a glass house. It shows that you don't have that culture depth between you two.
The connection.
They don't have that connection, right? And business is the same way. Like, I don't care if somebody brings me a problem that's not my problem, I'm not going to act like that's not my problem. I'm going to hear what they're telling me, and I'm going to say, okay, yeah, and I'll get it taken care of. I'm not going to put that other person on blast.
Yeah.
And in a good culture, the leadership team has to support a CEO like that.
100%.
The leadership team has to support your ops or what, who it doesn't have to be a CEO, but if somebody makes a decision, if you decide to step up and you do something without bringing it to me first, and you say it and it goes and it fucking blows up and it wasn't a great idea, I have to still have your back.
Yeah.
I have to have your back to the people no matter what, even if I don't agree with it. And then I have to address you aside.
Yeah.
I have to come to you and say, man, like, that was not a good move, man. Wish you would have maybe brought it to me first, but I also always want to encourage you to make those moves.
Yeah.
But I got your back in it, and we're going to fucking get out of the thing together.
And figure out how not to do it again.
Yeah. And like I said, and that's what's so important when you've got these, you know, cultural situations in the business that when you have to make a decision, you have to have enough respect from your people that even if it's the wrong move, it's the right move, and then you get yourselves out of it together.
Yeah, 100%. That's good.
It's good, dude. Sometimes I come up with some shit that's real good.
You always come up with some shit that's real good.
That's why I keep you around, bro. But anyway, I'm getting ready to, I'm heading to Houston Austin this weekend.
Yeah.
So we gotta go catch a plane here. I gotta go catch a plane here. Nate, man, as we wrap up, brother, what is, you know, I always just like to put you on the spot. So, you know, what's something going into 2024 that, you know, you're focusing on? What's like the thing for you that's like, if I have to, it's not the more, it's less, right? So if it's one thing where it's like, man, I want to focus on that going into 2024, what is it?
Yeah, I would say just you know, choosing the hard shit.
Yeah.
My social media presence. So podcast, media, content, all that, just because it's, one, it makes me uncomfortable, so I'm going to grow out of it. Two, because it's always been something that's, you know, held me up from being that next version of myself. Yeah, so
that's good.
I think if I can, you know, really lock in on that, obviously my business and sales too.
Yeah.
But put a lot of focus on that, getting out of the comfort zone will help my sales come up, will help my business come up.
Yeah.
It's just getting uncomfortable.
No, that's good, man. And I'll make sure I hold you to that so that I keep you uncomfortable.
Appreciate that.
And we're going to keep bringing you back on, man. I love when you come on and we get to talk and, you know, it's up to me to push you, to force you out of that comfort zone.
I need a little kick in the ass
you
sometimes.
You do, man. We were like, well, we'll shoot later. I'm like, no, we got 20 minutes. Let's go. Now we're already running late. I'm like, oh, shit, we gotta go. But no, man, Nate, I appreciate having you on, brother. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you're struggling to, you know, put content out, if it's something important to you, you're struggling to, you know, put that story together or the things that, you know, the things that you want to share with people, but you're hesitant to share. And I encourage you to change your mindset, right? Just like we're talking about. Like, these things didn't happen to you, they happened for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to then dissect those things and figure out what is it about those things that make you who you are, because it's those things that people will relate to and connect to.
100%. Just like Wes Watson said, we're all offerings to the world.
That's
so
it.
If we can create the best versions of ourselves, give it back to the people that are like the old me, that's all I want to do.
It's a law of reciprocity, my man.
Absolutely.
That's good stuff. Well, Nate, appreciate you coming on. For Nate Saxton and the Reckless CEO, we out.